Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now, the first thing we got to do, what's sin? James says, "A man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And Don's been dealing with my heart about something. And I read the scriptures, I put them together, but I never really just put them together. And you hear it all the time. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how our faith's increased. And the other one was Hebrews chapter 6, where it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them." There's that responsibility on our part again. There's that responsibility He puts on us. "Unto them that diligently seek Him." So if faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, push them together a little bit and realize if we're not reading the Word of God, we're not diligently seeking Him, are we? We're not. So if you're not reading the Word of God, not applying it to our life daily, we're not seeking, we're not drawing nigh to Him so He can draw nigh to us. And so we need more of God's Word. And what's one of the hardest things to do? Pray and be faithful in our Bible reading. Satan continues to keep us those things out of our life. So let's break up some things in our life that what Satan intervenes and tries to get through our eyes, through our ears, what our hands are doing, where our feet are going. So let's look at some of the things. A yielded life. And here it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" And the question is, are we dead? My problem is Roger's still alive. Your problem is you're still alive. Your problem is you don't like to pray. Just admit it. Your problem is you don't want to read the Bible. Admit it. Admit it this Sunday morning, one of the hardest mornings. We come into church, but boy, we make ourselves come. Come on. Start nodding your head. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. This flesh does not want to be in submission to God. It wants rule. It wants authority. It wants what it wants. And you never notice the real peace you have when God gets a moving in the service. And your heart gets totally submissive and your hands go up and God squeezes your old heart till the tears run out of your eyes and it gets so sweet. But wouldn't it be great if we could just do that every day? A yielded life. Paul says that I may die daily. Are you dead? That's our problem. We're not dead yet. But a yielded life. Let's look at reading on here. Verse 4. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism to His death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become..." I know it's things we've heard, but if you know anything about Baptists, we need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and God help us to attain it and apply it and apply it and apply it, that finally we put our foot down and say, "Flesh, look at yourself in the mirror when you're combing your hair, say, wait a minute here. First of all, flesh, today I'm going to live for God." Do you ever have an argument with yourself? I see the heads nodding. We got some people being honest here. Being honest with herself. God help us to be yielded. Yielded means to give way to arguments. Give way to demand or pressure. Surrender. Submit. Admit defeat. You know, in November 15th, 1988, I admitted defeat that I was a sinner in need of grace of God. And I knelt, and when I knelt, I admitted defeat that I needed help from God. But as I've learned from God's Word 26 years, I still need help. I need Him every single day. And I need Him in every, and He shows me in more ways in my life as I go that I need more Him. He needs more of me. And I need less of me. And He need that I may decrease, that He may increase. So let's look at this. So to admit defeat, to back down, to give in, give up the struggle. Can you imagine if you started each day actually praying and reading and you went out your door? You wouldn't be so mindful to think of things, you'd be thinking of souls. You know, it's sad most of football season. The guys at work, man, they're sneaking on when the boss ain't there. They take the wires back and they got this big screen. They're sneaking on and they're playing it at the break time and they're running in, running out. And I'm saying, who's even playing? I don't even know. Well, the Colts. Well, that's my home team. You know, but I don't even know. But the thing is, most people, when the Super Bowl's on, Super Bowl Sunday comes on, it's sad, the majority of people going to church, they hear a message, and they go out that door, and before they get out, even before they're probably sitting on a pew, looking at their phone, seeing how the game's going. It's sad to say that our churches, and you was right, you nailed it, that the majority of people going to church, they're going to hear a message about God, but they're not going to meet God. Do you hear what I said? You're hearing a message about Him, not coming to meet Him. Oh, that we come to meet Him. Oh, that we come to worship Him. Adore Him. Give Him glory, for He is worthy. He deserves our utmost, very best in our life. And of all times, one day a week, at least Sunday, we can nail that down and get that right. Let this day be His. Give way to argument, demands, pressure, surrender, submit. Our Christian eyes should be yielded. So my eyes of what I see should be yielded to the things God wants me to see. It's been a while since I've been around a workplace by a bunch of sinners, boy, that they're tempted to look at things they should not be looking at. And so I'm put to a place where I'm reminded of the condition of this world. This world is full of sinners. I used to be one. I used to be just like they was. No, probably worse than they was, to be truthful. But my eyes need to be yielded. And the one thing we need to be yielded to is, what did I say earlier? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How are you going to hear it? Will you come to hear preaching? Is that the only time you hear it? Or do you? Faith cometh by hearing. I need more faith in my life. So how am I going to attain it? I'm going to have to open the Word of God and read it myself. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I've heard them verses, but I never really just clenched them together. Because they're very important together, I believe. A yielded life. Walk in newness of life. Christian eyes should be yielded. Yielded eyes will study the Bible. Psalm 1:2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Yielded eyes will study the Word of God. We teach the kids Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we say, Amen. Thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, but how many are we treating it? If you was in the middle of a woods coon hunting, you gonna go in the middle of the woods you never been in before in your life and go in there with that light on? You're gonna be dropping in a ditch, tripping over logs, and you hear the dogs bark and you kind of tell where they're at, but you got your light up and do you got your light on? Thy word is a lamp. I mean, we say that, but do we really look at God's word as a light? And you notice how he words it and how he puts it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So I can look down to see where I'm at right now. But then he said, it's a light unto my path. You remember the old lights? The higher you could hold them, your arms would be broke off. You'd be switching arms. And the higher you held your lamp, the further you could see out the path in front of you. So I could see where I was going. I could see where I was walking to. So I could see where I was at right now, but I could also see up the path a little bit. And I'm glad God's Word, we can see way up the path. He gives us the finish line. So if He's got us where we're at right now, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, and He shows us the finish line, don't you think He's going to give us light for along the way? A yielded life. Yielded. Our eyes should be yielded to the Word of God. Our eyes will look to Jesus for help. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have our yielded eyes will study the Bible. Yielded eyes will look to Jesus. In all things. One of my favorite verses that was handed to me, same week I got saved, I got a little piece of paper, and it was my brother-in-law, Johnny Wolf, and he went, psst, psst, passing notes at church already. What? He said, here, here. So I took it, and I said, boy, it's got to be important, passing note in church. So I said, well, what's he handing me, you know? I thought something was bad. I had a booger out or something on my nose, or something. He just let me know something I need to know right then, but this is what it said. Everything you need. Listen, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. I said, wow, that must be deep. So I started looking up real quick, finding Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And the first thing it said was, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. There's that part of that yielding thing, trusting in Him. Not me, not trusting in my thoughts, not my ways, trusting in Him. Then it said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy, what? Path. What's that other one? That's, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a lamp unto my path. Oh my. Word of God's very important. Our eyes should be yielded unto the things of God. Like I said, it's things we know, but it's like a refresher course all the time of re-sparking that life back in us where the things of God are important to you. Or is the cup of coffee in the news more important? Or is the cup of coffee with the Bible more important? You make a habit of it. Where I want to hear from God first thing this day, in all thy ways. You might think I'm silly, but I'm going to tell you anyway. When I go fishing my kids, you can ask them. So what we need to do, kids, we need to pray. Ask God to make the fish hungry. And you know what? We catch fish every time we go. Glory to Him. I go in the woods ginseng hunting. I say, God, mark my steps. And I literally try to see the throne of God in my mind and surrender myself to Him And you know, sometimes he'll make me wander off a certain way and I have no clue and there'll be something standing there right at my feet. I'll say, thank you, Lord. You might think that's silly, but he did say, in all thy ways. No, he say that. So when I'm working on my car and I'm first tackling, I said, Lord, help me here. I don't even know what's wrong with it. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what it said. I believe all means all. It means everything. Let's look at something. So our eyes should be yielded. Eyes will study the Bible. Eyes will look to Jesus. Yielded eyes will look for the lost. Leonard Ravenhill was a healer when he was younger, but as he got older in life, he ended up coming out of it a little bit. He said they had more healing services with Oral Roberts and they did all this. They had done more healing services here in America than they did around the world. And he said, well, you know what we need today in our lives? It's what we need a healing of. We need a healing of character and holiness. Because our churches are lacking it. Our churches smell like the world and act like the world and want to run with the world. And we need to get back to the old ways and the old past of what God would have us. So, yielding eyes will look for the lost. So if our mind's on holy things and godly things, Jesus didn't come to heal. That one feller, he goes, why don't God come here and just show that he's God? If he's really God, why has he got allow these ISIS people doing what they're doing? Why is he allowing these sickness and these diseases? And I said, that ain't why he come. He come to seek and save that was lost. Those things was to prove who he was. Because that's what he said he would do when the Messiah would come. And he stopped and thought. And it's like the devil had the blinders pulled over his eyes and his light bulb come on in his mind. He went, I never thought of that. But the devil will do a lot of things, won't he? Keep us out of God's truth. So yielded eyes will look for the lost. John 4:35, say ye not that they are yet for months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, that's a scary, if something's ready to harvest, if you know anything about gardening at all, if you leave it there, what happens? So if it's white, ready to harvest, you need to pick it right now. Don't leave it on there. Blow off, hit the ground, or rot and hit the ground. So we have things ripe in the harvest. Souls ready. Our job is to go get them. You know, there was a Catholic woman and a Baptist woman had a conversation. And they... Catholic woman asked the Baptist, and she says, what's this? You guys have these signs out and you make a big deal of these revivals you have all the time. She says, oh, this is what we do. Them revivals we have, we get our hearts right with God. She goes, you mean you confess your sins? She goes, every 6 days we confess our sins. Every Saturday we go to Mass. So you go 3 months before you have a revival in yours before you go just confess your sins. And I went, oh my, is that the condition of a regular Baptist church? And sometimes I think some of them are right along them lines. The only time they get right is when a revival or a jubilee comes on. Camp meeting comes on. We get our hearts in tune and on fire and then go back out in the world and slowly, slowly just start dwindling. The old world kind of beats us down and kind of just start fitting in again. And I did my Bible reading. God's the world that gave his own God's son. I did it today. I did my Bible reading, got out of bed, and Shadrach, Meshach, back to bed I go. Some of them did going to do it this morning. 1 foot's going to go out of the bed and go, Shadrach, Meshach, back to bed I go. and they're going to miss church. So her eyes should be yielded. And I'm out of time. I'm going to get the eyes. Let's get the ears. Our ears should be yielded. Yielded ears are deaf to gossip. 1 Timothy 4:10, but profuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So when we hear things, sometimes we say, I don't want to hear that, or we need to pray about that. Someone don't want to pray about it, then it ain't worth hearing at all, is it? If it ain't worth taking before God, it ain't worth coming out of our mouth, is it? If it's concern enough to pray about, then we need to pray about it. If it's concerned for the gospel's sake, it's definitely worth the time to pray about it. But if it's not, then we need to keep our mouth shut. So our ears should be yielded. Our eyes should be yielded. Yielded to study the Bible. Eyes yielded to look to Christ. Yielded to look for the lost. And our ears should be yielded to be deaf to gossip. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings as opposition of science falsely so called. Yielded ears are deaf to things that ain't worth hearing. Yielded ears are open to Jesus' word. Luke 10:39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. That's where we need to be. Somebody said, well, I like that red letter edition. I like it because that's the words of Jesus. I said, yeah, it starts in Genesis 1. Did you hear me? I didn't stutter. Starts in Genesis 1. That's all red letter. It's got blood all the way through it. And we start taking the Word of God that way and believing it that way. I think it changes how you read it even. You're not reading out of duty, you're reading it because you love Him. As He said, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. You know He puts the first, He puts it on us. God makes the first step in salvation. He gets a hold of us. And then we have a choice to stand there, resist Him, or submit to Him and love Him, and fall in love with Him. Then He says, draw nigh to me. He says, I'll draw nigh to you. What a relationship with God. God says, He desires fellowship so much. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So for not opening the Word of God, it's how we draw near to Him. And listen to Him speak to our hearts. What's any other way He's going to speak to you? Through the preaching of God's Word, but more so when you're at home. That's who you really are when you're by yourself. Your yielded life matters when you're at home. All by yourself, what you do at home. So our ears should be yielded. Yielded ears are deaf to gossip. Yielded ears are open to Jesus' Word. Yielded ears are obedient to God's message. In Acts chapter 8, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south. Well, that was specific, wasn't it? Arise, go to the south. Go that away. And to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. He said, well, I need to think about this. I'm going to pray about this. No, he just arose and went. He did what he knew what was right to do. He arose and went and beheld a man of the Ethiopian eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he listened to God to go. So our eyes should be yielded. Our ears should be yielded. Let's get to the nasty one now. Let's get our tongue yielded. So our eyes, our ears, and our tongue. Christian tongue should be yielded. Yielded tongue is bridled. How do we bridle such an awful, wicked thing? Such a little member, but such a great matter it boasts. It can say great things. I could love you and tell kind words to you, or I could hurt you and cut you to scorn. All by this little thing. There's only one of them. Thank God they wasn't. We got two eyes and two ears. Imagine we had two tongues. God help us. Oh, my soul. You'd have two women with two phones sometimes. But anyway, tongues should be yielded. James says in 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain. A yielded tongue is prayerful. You want to look up 1 Timothy chapter 2. 13. So a yielded tongue will tell about Jesus. Mark 5:19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home, I love this, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee. And he departed, began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You have a testimony. Everybody does. Or it's a good one or a bad one. It's one or the other. Whether you got a testimony to tell someone how great God had done great things for you, or you ain't got nothing to say at all about what great thing. If you're saved, you ought to have all kinds of things to say greatly about the Lord God Almighty coming in your life. If any man that said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's a metamorphosis. You ever watch the Incredible Hulk, and you got this little mild-mannered doctor, and all of a sudden he turns into this great big green monster? Or let's just do one easier now. Just take the cocoon, something ugly. Looks like dirt on a stick in the middle of the woods. And it finally breaks free and this thing starts to wiggle on out of it. It stretches forth its wings and it's got collar and it's beautiful. And it stretches out and begins to fly. That's metamorphosis. Therefore, many men, old things pass away. Behold, all things. That word all again. Yielded life. Yielded life. All things have become new. Then the very day I got saved, God gave me two brand new eyes. I might not did everything like I should, but boy, everything I seen was different. I went outside and seen the sun setting, and I went, looked at the trees and the wind blowing through the trees, and I never seen them before. And I said, God did it. Looked at the flowers growing out of the ground, and I started marveling at all the things God had around me all the time, and I missed them. Then I felt this big swelling inside of my heart and soul where God was at, squirming, trying to get out. The hand of God moving in my life. What a wonderful, wonderful. And that's when them services get good. That's him squirming in there trying to get out and show himself. And it's a wonderful one. I thank God for feelings. They've gone. What's that say, my brother? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Read that. Prayerful tongue there, don't it? With all prayers and supplications be made for all authority. I think we fail at that. We're praying for our loved ones, our youngins, our church, and I look at the state senate, legislative, the White House. A lot of preachers concerned about the White House. I'm concerned about the church house. I believe the church house gets right. White House changed. When true revival comes in a community, it'll change the atmosphere of the whole surrounding, not just the church house. Because everybody knows something's going on at the church house. People know because people start witnessing. People start telling what great things God hath done. People start bragging on the church house, bragging on the preacher, bragging on the things of God. He said, something's going on at the church house. Revival's breaking out. Mention all-night prayer meeting. People don't go duck their head. Revival breakout. People won't mind. Because they're hungry and thirsty for the things of God. It's been a long time, it's been really. Those who go out with Jubilee, you had those who, your main theme, what was that again? Who? Them that are thirsty. You thirsty yet? I am. I'm thirsty for the things of God. So our tongues should be yielded. It needs to be bridled. It needs to be prayerful. And it needs to be telling others about Jesus. I'm going to skip. I'm going to get to the end here real quick. Our feet and our hands, there's, my goodness, there's a... Bottom line, Jesus said Himself, says, where your heart is, there you will be your treasure also. So it matters with the heart. Proverbs says that out of your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So out of our heart is how everything we do comes. What matters to you, that's what you'll do. This book matters to you, this is what you'll do. The things of God matter to you, that's what you'll do. If souls matter to you, you'll find some way, somehow, to tell someone. And sometimes they ain't going to like it. But you're telling them the truth. If somebody was running off a cliff, and you know they're in the dark, and they're running off a cliff, you're going to just watch them go? Let alone hellfire, are going to run there with a stop sign. Said, whoa, stop, hang on. You don't have to go this way. There's a drop-off right here, and it's a big one. It's a bottomless pit. So our heart should be yielded. Yielded heart is clean. Yielded heart is Christ indwelt. You know, the thing is, you ask anybody if they're saved, everybody says, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm born again, I'm born again. I'm getting to where I'm saying, does Christ live in you? Is not that the hope of any true Christian? Christ in us, the hope of glory? The hope of glory? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, dear God, we love you. Thank you for this time with your word. Father, I pray, dear God, help me, oh God. Help me to love you more. Help me to worship you more. Father, you are truly worthy. Help us to realize revival starts with inside every one of us. The yielded life deals with the individual, each one of us. Lord, who we are at home, and just the Word of God matter to us there, is the only time we open it when we're here. Oh, God, help us. Help this place, help these people, dear God. Help this dear preacher, dear God. Bless his family, Lord, bless the message to come. Father, may we not just be anticipating a message about God. Lord, we be anticipating to hear a message from God. Bless now. Have your will and way in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask you.